saving thing. Deuteronomy chapter 32, let's start in verse 1 of this chapter. Deuteronomy 32, 1. Give ear, O heavens, and I'll speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb and as the flowers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is a rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. I'm looking at this to some degree, at least in light of the meetings we had this week and the things that God spoke to you about and about the need to remember and consider those. But as you look at this passage here, the setting is Israel is poised at the east of the Jordan River. They're about to enter into the promised land, having been absent for 470 years. It's 470 years since Jacob and his sons and their families, 76 in number, went into Egypt. They spent 430 years in Egypt. 400 of those years were in hard bondage. Then they escaped, and then they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. So a total of 470 years, and now they're about to enter back into this land that God originally gave to Abraham. And they have grown in number from 76 to several million people in that 470 years. God's blessed them. God's taken care of them. God has provided for them. And the entire book of Deuteronomy probably covers about 30 days as they're waiting, preparing to go on into the promised land. Moses is basically saying goodbye. The rest of this chapter is talking about the things that God has done. A song, actually, that he's singing about the events, the history, recapping the things that have taken place. Chapter 33, Moses then gives a blessing upon each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Chapter 34, he ascends up into Mount Nebo to get a glimpse of the promised land, and then to die. And then, of course, Joshua takes over and leads them into the promised land. So this is the end of Moses' life. And this is his final charge to the people of Israel as he's about to leave and turn the leadership over to Joshua and send them off into the land of Canaan to see all the promises of God fulfilled that they've been waiting for, that they've been longing for all these years. It's all about to come to pass. And he challenges them with these words. Look at this same chapter. Go to verse 44 of chapter 32. He concludes the song. And I'd encourage you to just go through and read that when you have a few minutes. It doesn't take long. You know, it's the Word of God, okay? It's worth reading. And read and what God had done for the people of Israel. And how they responded sometimes too. But he concludes now with this in verse 44. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people. Says he spoke it. Maybe his singing was not up to par. So instead of singing it, he spoke it. He spoke all these words in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land, whither you go over Jordan to possess it. And so as he concludes it, he's got these three things that he speaks about here that I want to focus on, use for our points of the message this morning. The first thing he says is, set your hearts unto all the words there in verse 46. He says, you remember the things that God has told you. Folks, this isn't just a book.
Amen.
It's God's Word. That's why it's important we have the Sunday school we're going to start here in a couple weeks. It's not just man's opinion or the best translation that man can provide for us. I believe we've got the inerrant Word of God, God's Word. I'm holding it in my hand. It's not lost somewhere and, you know, that we have to just kind of struggle and find out some of it. We got it all right here. And he says, the words are important. We need to set your hearts unto all the words. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. As this, the final days of Moses' life on earth and before they entered the promised land, it starts out here in chapter 6 and he says this in verse 6. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. These are important words. He says, you need to have them with you. You know, and a lot of us have them decorating our homes and so forth, but I hope that it's more than just a cute little decoration. The Word of God is important. He says, set your hearts unto all the words. Over there in Psalms it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Then it goes on and says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The Word of God is important in our lives, folks. And as a Christian, I hope that you're spending some time daily in the Word of God. It's important that we set our hearts to all the words of God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. You say, you just read that in chapter 6. Yeah, that's how important it is. God repeated it again. And in many ways throughout the scriptures, God repeats that. How important his words are to us. Job said, I esteem the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. Job said that. And you know what? He didn't have any of this. He had the audible communication to God. But he said, that's more to me than my necessary food. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Set your hearts to the Word of God, Christian. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3 and verse 1. My son, this is Solomon, wisest man in the entire world. wisest man ever to live. Even wiser than Donald Trump. Because he got God's wisdom. Now, if you know the story of Solomon, his life didn't turn out so good because he didn't apply the wisdom that he had. But God gave him a wisdom that exceeded anybody before him and any that would follow after. And even though he messed up as at the end of his life, he sits down and he writes this book of Proverbs to his son. And as you read Ecclesiastes, which he also wrote, he reflected upon his life and realized what a mess he'd made of things. And if nothing else, he was setting it down so his son after him would not make the stupid mistakes that he'd made. And he says here in chapter 3, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." He says we need to do all that we can to keep the word of God before us. It's a light unto our path. It lightens my steps. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. This book. Set your hearts to all his words. We need to consider God. Consider the things that he said. Remember how what he's promised has come to pass. Just as he said those things do. And as you go on through Deuteronomy chapter 32, that's what you see Moses doing, is repeating. Here's what God did for us. Here's how God protected us. Here's how God provided us. The manna every morning that came from heaven. The water that came out of that rock when it was smitten, when we were thirsty and in need. The quails that came from heaven. The shoes and the clothing that didn't wear out for 40 years traveling in the wilderness. You say, that's ridiculous, preacher. You're ridiculous if you don't believe God can do that. Amen. Set your hearts to all the Word of God. You know, this is an area we, God's people, struggle with. Is believing this. We read it. We even quote it. But sometimes we don't fully believe it. Like, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." You believe that? That was weak. But probably true. You see, our practice doesn't always match our profession, does it? How much do we really trust God? How about some of the things that we as a church are praying for? A youth leader. More room. I don't know about you, but I've been praying about that for a while. And I didn't have any answers. And I knew we weren't in a position to be able to buy anything. We got some money saved, but not near enough to buy property, and even at that, then to build upon it. And then all of a sudden, this other opportunity opened up out of nowhere, which I didn't even think was an option. Well, that seems more achievable to us. Now look, I believe God could give us a property and a building on it. Okay? But just from a human standpoint, this looks like a better option. I'm not saying this is what we need to do, though. We need to pray about it. But God is able to supply all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But so often, and I'm not saying that I got a handle on that either. But so oftentimes we doubt God. We don't trust him. God's people struggle with that. God promised Abraham a son. Got to be 90 years old, and he said, "Well, this isn't working. We got to do something here." So he and Sarah get together and they decide, okay, here's my handmaid, Abraham. Go ahead and take her and we'll help God out, raise up a son. And they got Ishmael, who's been a thorn in his side to the nation of Israel ever since. That Mideast conflict over there, you know, the Palestinians and all the Arabs fighting against Israel, that's rooted in Ishmael, at least in part. That's what happens when we try to fix things for God instead of believing what he said. And some years passed, and finally he says, no, God says, no, Abraham, Sarah is going to give you a son. And so Sarah, at 90 years old, being past the age of bearing children, and Abraham, 100 years old, being past the age of fathering children, suddenly, Shazam, guess what, Sarah? You get to bear a child at 90 years old. What a blessing, huh, ladies? But it was as God said it would be. You know, one of the ones we don't know that there was any questioning other than Bill Cosby's routine on the thing is Noah. Noah, it's going to flood. Build an ark. By faith, Noah, moved with fear, built an ark to the saving of his house, it tells us in Hebrews chapter 11. He believed God. He set his heart unto all the words of God. Here's what God said. I'm going to act upon it. And folks, that's where we need to be. We need to condition ourselves to say, okay, God, I don't understand this. This looks beyond my reach completely. But I know what you've promised. And I'm going to wait and I'm going to rely upon your promises. Because I'm going to set my heart unto all your words. Listen, folks, some of those words include the things that God dealt with you about this past week. There were a number of nights, there were several people at the altar. I'm not going to ask you what you were praying for, but you answer yourself. What were you praying for or about? What did God deal with you about that needed to be changed in your life? That was God speaking to you. Set your hearts to all the words of God. As it says in Hebrews, we need to take heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. Listen, if God spoke to you about something, that's important. It's important to follow through with that thing. Not just forget it and go on with life as usual. And that's too often what happens in our lives. There's a brief stirring, and oh man, you know, yeah, Lord, I'm sorry. I need to get that thing right. And then we just slip right back into the thing. It's called backsliding for a reason. Because you slide back into it just like you were before. God gave you an opportunity to get lifted out of that thing, but we neglect it and go right back into it again. Set your hearts to all the words which God has spoken. The next thing he says there in Deuteronomy chapter 32 is, it's not a vain thing. Think about that word vain for a moment. In Exodus chapter 20, where we have the Ten Commandments listed for us, the third commandment is this: thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What's that mean? It means you don't use God's name flippantly. You don't use it as a curse word. God's name is holy. God is holy. We need to give that name the proper respect. It's not an expression. Oh, God. Folks, that's a violation of that commandment. Just as much as telling him to damn something. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. When we speak of our God, we need to be realized we're addressing our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Speak it with respect. Using it just flippantly and with no meaning is not right. And he says here that it's the words are not a vain thing as well. We don't need to count, we're not to count them as meaningless, empty. There's a significance to the Word of God. You know, it's interesting, as I was thinking about that, why did Moses say that? It's not a vain thing to set all your heart to all the words of God. Some must have had that approach. Oh, it doesn't matter what God said. I can just go on and forget it, you know, live my life the way that I want. Some were counting the words as a vain thing. You think about what they'd experienced. God gave them some promises. God gave that land to them. You know, but Palestine belongs to Israel, the Jew. There's no such thing as a Palestinian. That's not a nationality. That's not a breed of people. That's a made-up thing by the news media. And that land belongs to Israel. It was given to Abraham. It was promised to him. He's now sending them, in Deuteronomy, sending them back into that land. And even though they were rooted out of it again, the Balfour Declaration gave it back to them in 1948. It belongs to Israel. That's God's promise to that nation. And now, I'm not saying it, the nation of Israel is right with God. That's another story altogether. But that land belongs to them. That's the promise that God gave to them. And God, they've got all these things that should assure them that God is faithful to his promises. Look what he did in bringing them out of the land of Egypt. You talk about an impossible situation. They were slaves there for 400 years. God says, okay, it's time. Moses, come here. Took him from the backside of the desert where he'd spent 40 years taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. Comes in there and is raised up by God to deliver these people. You go to Pharaoh. You tell him, let my people go. And they had all those 10 plagues, the boils, the flies, the lice, the disease of the cattle, the darkness, and the water turning to blood, and finally, the smiting of the firstborn. To all homes that didn't have the blood applied to the doorpost. God says, you put the blood there, and I'll pass over that home. And that's exactly what he did. Wherever the blood wasn't applied, the firstborn of that home died, from Pharaoh on down to the lowliest slave. And God miraculously delivered them out of that bondage. God did that. And even provided them wealth to be able to get out by the people giving them all their jewels and everything. Led them down to the Red Sea. Now they're pressed. They got the Red Sea before them. They got the armies of Egypt behind them. Now what do we do? You know, folks, that's a good place to be when we're out of options. Because then we look up where we should be looking in the first place. God says, take your rod, Moses, strike the water, and it parted. A wall of water on one side, a wall of water on the other side, and dry ground in between for the people of Israel to pass through. I mean, just try to get that image in your mind, folks, what that must have been like. I mean, they're facing certain death with the Egyptian army coming down. And then just to help things out, God sends a fog so that the Egyptians can't see them and follow them on in there to know what's going on. Takes them through there with that wall of water there and that wall of water there. I hope that doesn't run loose. And they got through safely. And then as the Egyptian army followed them in, it let loose. And God drowned the entire Egyptian army in the waters of the Red Sea. He destroyed the enemy, took care of them through the wilderness. All those things that God had done for these people. And they'd seen that time and time and time again. You know what happened? They still doubted. I'm thirsty. Oh, this lousy Moses led us out here just to let us die. We could have died in Egypt. Why don't we just stay there? And we could have had the leeks and onions of Egypt. And God gave them the water out of a rock. And so I'm here still. I'm taking care of you. And yet they still doubt it. As you read through Deuteronomy 32, that's what you're going to see. Time and time and time again. The people griped and complained and rebelled because they didn't set all their hearts to set their hearts to all the words of God. They counted them as but a vain thing. But Christian, how many times do we do the very same thing? Oh, I got this big bill coming. I don't know how I'm going to pay that thing. It's just amazing to see what God does. When we step back and put it in his hands. Our church up in Rochester, New York, where I was going to Bible school, was having a special offering. They purchased a building for the Christian school. It was an old public school building. And pretty much exhausted all the financial resources they had in just acquiring the building, got it, and needed a new roof. Didn't have the money to pay for it. And he says, folks, we want you to pray and ask God to give you something to contribute to this. We're not asking for your regular offering. We're asking you to pray that God will give you something to give to provide for this roof. And Eileen and I began praying, and we were kind of in dire straits ourselves at that point, so there wasn't anything we had to give. And we prayed about it. At Sunday, Monday morning, there was a check for $100 in the mail. I forget where it came from, what it was from. Something completely unexpected. But it was the answer to God's prayer, or our prayer. And you think about that. We started praying Sunday, and it was in the mail Monday. It was already in the mail before we prayed. Do you believe God works like that? Amen. Before we moved here, we were praying about coming here, leaving the church in Gove, and had contacted the Christian Academy about the maintenance man job there. And I got a call from Mr. Baylor, and he wanted us to come visit. And I told Eileen about it. Didn't have the money. I said we'd be there. But we didn't have the money to get here from Kansas. Within a few days after that, I got a check from my uncle, which was the final portion of our settlement for my grandfather's estate. $500 and some, I think it was. Well, I guess we got the money to go to Pennsylvania. Amen. And God took, I mean, there's so many things, so many times. If we will just trust him. It's not a vain thing, folks. Don't question him. Trust him. And set your hearts unto all his words. But go back to Deuteronomy 32 for a second. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verse 47. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. It's your life. This is our life. Keep a finger here. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world through lust. He says his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And these exceeding great and precious promises allow us to be partakers of his divine nature. God's given us everything we need. As it says in 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished to all good works. God's given us what we need. But we often don't access it. The things that pertain to our life. Look at Leviticus chapter 18. Keep your finger in Deuteronomy 32, please. Leviticus chapter 18. Verse 5. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you, thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And then back in chapter 3 again, we'll repeat this again here. He says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days, and long life and peace shall they add to thee. I got saved at 23 years old. I was into a lot of things that I knew were probably going to shorten my life. In fact, I used to say, I don't think I'll ever live to see 30 years old. And I truly believe that had I continued on as I was, I probably would not have. The summer that I graduated from high school, I spent 6 days in jail for third-degree burglary. I was on the fast track to hell. And I didn't care. And when I got saved, God gave me something worth living for. And even if he takes my life now, I know that I'm going to live on for eternity. Amen. But I've lived a few more years beyond that 23 and beyond that 30. And it's God. You know, Jesus said, I give you life and life more abundantly. I had it in many ways, I had it made before I was saved. Had a good job, had all my bill, no debt, everything was paid for. But there was something missing here. The joy, the peace, the satisfaction, contentment. I had none of those things. And God has given all of those things to me. A family, a church, and a future in heaven.
Amen.
He's life. And life more abundantly. As we set all our heart to all his words. And realize it's not a vain thing. You know, people do a lot of crazy things in this life. To satisfy themselves, to attain some things. There's a used to be a program called Fear Factor. One of the things that for $50,000, they would be drugged 100 yards behind a horse at 35 miles an hour. I know a guy in Kansas that got killed. You know, he was working around cattle and fell off and got drugged and got killed by that. Thrown into a pit of snakes. No, thank you. I don't care how much money's involved.
Yeah.
Snakes belong on the ground, moving in the opposite direction of me. Yeah. Oh, and if you got bit while in the tank, then you automatically move to the next round. Oh, wonderful. It's crazy. There's these survivor shows or whatever going on now. There's one in Russia that they're getting ready to do. It's going to be filmed in Siberia. There's going to be no camera crew. The cameras are going to be worn on the bodies of the people only. And everything is acceptable. Rape, murder, drug use, doesn't matter. For $2.2 million. People are crazy. And you know what they're looking for? What God offers right here. He says, it is your life. And they can win that $2 million, maybe be maimed or ruined for life. And what good's it going to do? But for this, oh yeah, we could still be maimed and ruined for this life, as Paul was, but he was ruined for this life anyway. He says, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Hey, Christian, set your heart to all the words of God. It's not a vain thing. It's your life. And the rewards out of this world. Amen. Let's stand, please, for prayer. God, help us to take seriously your word. Help us, God, to understand and surrender more completely to what you desire of us. We so easily get distracted, Father. We're so easily turned away from following what you've told us to do. And sometimes we don't understand, God, but in the end, when we look back, it finally makes perfect sense. Help us, God, to trust you. Help us, God, to allow you to have your will and your way in our lives. Help us as your people to be more committed to serving you. Father, if there's anyone here this morning that has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, God, please help those to understand how much you love and care for them, how much you desire to do for them, and all they ask, all that you ask, is that they give themselves to you, that they trust you, that they come to you, letting loose of all their plans, all their schemes, all the things that they're trusting in, and just solely trust in you and your precious shed blood for the forgiveness of their sins and to be made a child of God. Well, God, work as you see the need in hearts and lives this morning. And help us, oh God, to have been changed from our week of meetings with Brother Hofacker. God, to not let those things slip, but to keep in memory the things which you spoke to our hearts about. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.